You can turn the lights on if, unless you don't want to look at me, and that's good, too. Hey, didn't they do a great job with that video? I am very proud of them. They put a lot of work in it. Let's give them a big hand, okay? What we're going to do right now, I'm going to have some ushers pass out a postcard like this. Would you please each take one? And we'll explain a little bit later, but each one of you need to take one of these. And while they're doing that, I want to give you some statistics. That so far in Lenawee County, we've covered 6 sections out of 26. We've seen 168 salvations so far in the county. A lot of those are in places like Hudson, Clinton, Morenci. But we also saw way out in the country, and I'm going to talk about one. We saw a couple get saved way out in the country by Hillsdale, almost in Hillsdale County. We need your help. You know, we need a lot of people to go to reach our county for Christ. They are dying and going to hell, and we need to reach out to them. I really believe within my heart that we don't have much time left. Maybe door knocking is going to be outlawed. Maybe we would be thrown in jail when we do it. Now is the time. The harvest is ripe. We need to go. You know, soul winning is kind of interesting, too, by the way, why they're still passing out there. I got to tell you this story. Wednesday night, we had quite an exciting time going with the teenagers. If you want an exciting time, go soul winning, go with the teenagers, especially the boys, okay? This Wednesday, we were out knocking on doors, and one guy said, you know, you better look up in the sky. It's going to rain pretty soon. So we started walking back, and then it started pouring. I mean, the rain came down in buckets. And we got underneath a tree. It wasn't a thundering lightning, so we got underneath a tree. But there was a lady came up in a van. She said, hey, how about you getting in our van? Are you welcome to come in the van? Well, we had 4 fellas. All of them got in the van real quick. They turned around, looked at me, and says, there's no room for you. Now, what do you think of that? And then the lady started laughing. And I tell you what, it's exciting to go soul winning with teenagers. You never know what's going to happen. You know, and they enjoyed it. I finally did get in the van, but boy, was I soaked. But we had a good time, didn't we? This little track, this is a track, a new type of track that we're using. What I asked you to do, and I beg and plead with you, that you give this one tract that you received to somebody. Amen. Can you just start doing that? And on the back of it's the plan of salvation and the church services. Would you please just pass that out and give it to somebody and say, here, this will tell you how to go to heaven. And you might open the door where you can sit down and talk to them. I challenge everybody to get at least one of these out. Teenagers, we find out using these, by the way, out in the country, and as we go door knocking, that they're kind of nice because the wind don't blow them away when you put them in a door. They're nice and sturdy, okay? And they do fit in your pocket. Now, the pastor has trouble with one of his shirts that don't fit in his pocket. That's because he pays $175 for his shirt, okay? And I buy the $9.99 ones, all right? I'm just kidding on that, all right? Tonight, as you noticed, the video was about a vision. When you go by a house, what do you see? When you go by a cemetery, what do you see? When you see a farmer out in the field, all you do is see him out there plowing. When you go downtown, you see people walking around. What do you see? We look, but what do we see? We need to learn to get a vision. I'm afraid that we as Christians, somewhere along the line, has lost our vision. We don't see the need to go out and reach souls like we should. I don't know whether we're wrapped up in ourselves too much or what it is, but we need to regain, renew our vision. We need to open our eyes and affect our heart. And I'm going to beg and plead with you tonight that you allow the Holy Spirit to challenge your heart. Some of the message, in the message I'm preaching, it's going to be kind of hard. You know, see, God, way back when I was 16 years old, called me to be an evangelist. And I told him, no way. You know what's funny? He got me behind a pulpit anyhow. I should have answered the call. Because you know what happened? Young people, listen to me. If God tells you to do something, you better do it. Because you're going to live the rest of your life when you say no and wondering what could have happened. Wondering the blessings God would pour up on you. Wondering how many souls have been saved. So, young people, listen. Answer God's call. Don't say no. If he calls you, he'll provide the way. It's that simple. Tonight I'm going to talk to you simply on a subject called renewing the vision. Renewing the vision. I'm proud of our young people. Amen. Do you know we average 17 young people going out Wednesday night? Actually, it's 17.2, but I don't know how you get that .2 young person going calling, okay? But that's a joy. And by the way, they do call. They don't put tracks in mailboxes. Right. They don't fool around. They go knocking.
Right. Amen.
They talk to people. Right now, in my Bible, I got four follow-up cards. The teenagers led somebody to Christ.
Amen.
And we're trying to start a program now where we follow up on those and try to get it back, get them in church, get them walk down the aisle way. That's our goal. And to get them to be part of a fellowship right here at Berean Baptist Church. That's how we're going to grow. Are you going to renew the vision tonight? Now, I got 4 points I'm going to talk about. But I want to throw this out at you. There's 110,000 people in Lenawee County. Over 95% of them are lost. That's 104,500 people. Destination hell. Now, when I figured this out and looked at it, it shocked me. Don't tell me that the field is not white in the harvest. Don't tell me there's not a need. Because there is. People need to hear the gospel. We're amazed how many times people say, we're glad you're doing it. I don't know why they claim they're saved, and but they're not doing it. They say, we're glad you're out there doing it. We run across that quite often. But let me tell you one more story before I pray and I get in the message. This last Saturday, yesterday, we was out in the country. A teenage boy came to the door. And I started talking to him. He said, I'm not interested in church. I said, I'm not here to talk about the church. I want here to tell you how to go to heaven. And just as cocky can be and hard-hearted as he could be, he says, I'm not interested. I said, look, if you don't listen and ask Christ to come in your heart, you're going to burn forever. And he basically said, look, I can handle that. My friend, I don't know about you, but that shook me up. People are coming so hard. But you know what? Not just the lost. I think some of our hearts have become hard too. We've lost our compassion. We lost our desire to go out and see souls saved. And I have no greater joy than to see, listen to when teenagers come back and adults come back and say, hey, we led somebody to Christ. Oh, it's exciting. And we always have the teenagers give a testimony on the bus when they lead somebody to Christ and tell what happened. And it's a joy. I enjoy going out with our teenagers, and you can be proud of them. We have new people coming because of our teenagers. You want to know the truth. The way they act, the way they dress. We hear criticism of them so much. But I'm proud of you.
Amen.
I'm very proud of you. And I know your pastor is.
Amen.
Keep it up. Don't slide backwards. Just move forward. For Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, as we enter in this message, I pray, Holy Spirit, that every word, every thought, every action I say is directed by you, the Holy Spirit. I need your power. There's no use standing behind the pulpit without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that every one of us in this room will pay attention and listen. And allow you, the Holy Spirit, to challenge our hearts and our lives. That we renew our vision. Not just for our county, but for lost all over the world. People that need Jesus. And God, I just pray that you move in a mighty way in Christ's name. Amen. Soul winning. We need a vision. You know, the first point I got simply is that we need a vision of our Heavenly Father. You see, the pastor talked on this a little bit, but quite a bit. We think God is love, God is mercy, God is all-forgiving. And he is all those things. But you know, he's a holy God. He's a righteous God. And he will not tolerate sin. He will punish sin. What do you think is happening in America today? He's punishing America because we turn our back against God. And you know whose fault it is? It's ours. Because we don't humble ourselves and pray. We don't go out and seek the lost like we should. Our Heavenly Father, we need to get a vision. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby ye call, Abba Father, cry, Abba Father. We need to realize, number one, if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and you're on your way to heaven, he is your Heavenly Father. We sit here and we teach our kids and our grandkids, hey, have respect for what we tell you. Obey. If not, you get punished. Am I correct? Then why don't we treat our Heavenly Father the same way? He is our Father. Why do we treat him the way we do? We don't pray like we should. We don't read the Bible like we should. We don't go soul winning. We don't have the respect and our love for our Heavenly Father like we should have. I hear Christians calling him an old man upstairs. They're going to be sorry they ever said that. He's not an old man upstairs. He's all powerful. He can with a spoken word or just a thought, he could take my life right now if he so desired. You ever thought about that? He's a God. Yes, he's a God that we need to call our Father if you know Christ is your personal Savior. And if you call him your Father, then you better obey him. Otherwise, we're not setting the right example. Number two, under that category, not only is he is the potter. He's the one that wants to mold us. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art the potter. We are the work of thy hand. Our problem is, listen to me, our problem is we don't let God do the work in our hearts. Our hearts have become so hard and crusty that he can't mold it in the way he wants. He can't image it in the way he wants. He's saying, hey, go soul winning. He says, go out and reach the county. He says, hey, read your Bible, pray. We don't listen because our hearts are hard. We need to understand that God wants to mold us. He wants to massage our heart. I have prayed and begged and pleaded that tears would come down my face that affect my heart. That I get tears in my heart that will soften my heart, crusty heart, so that I will realize the need that God is trying to tell me to go out. That I'll do what he wants, not what I want. We have come to Christians or people that are selfish. We want to do what we want, when we want, and how we want. You say, what does God do with soul winning? Everything. You see, when you go soul winning, you got to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you're not obedient to God, you don't do what God says, you're not going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You're just going your own power. And there is no results. I've been there and done that. I bet a lot of you have too. We need to understand who God is. I have a question. Do you allow the Holy Father, the Father, to mold your heart, to mold you? Or do you fight him? Do you allow the Heavenly Father to just take his hands and massage your heart and say, come on, this is what I want you to do? Or are you fighting him? Also, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. God is holy. And I think we forgot that attribute of God. I think we as Christians kind of push that aside and say, hey, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I can do anything I want, and it's going to be all right. No, God will get the whipping paddle out. He will punish sin. He will chastise us when we fall into sin. I know, I've had it. Many years ago, I had a mission board, as you know, and we went and tried to get people to go on mission trips. And I was trying to raise support, and it wasn't coming in. I said, God, I got an idea better than yours. I said, I'm going to open up a shoe store. And boy, all the money is going to come in, and I'm going to get that to the mission board. I opened up a shoe store. Within 3 months, God closed it. Because that wasn't God's will. See, I ran ahead of God. He's holy. We need to listen to him. He will punish sin. And the second point I got, first of all, we talked about our spiritual father, haven't we? We get to really know him. Have you seeking him? Have you talked to him a lot lately? Today, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't go home from church. I decided to stay right here all day. What a blessed time it was. Be alone with God. What a wonderful time it was. Talk to him, he talks to you. Oh, it was a blessed time. I never had such peace and joy as I was in this auditorium almost all day. Begging God, pleading with God. Somehow to wake us up that he is a God that's holy. We need to have a vision of our Heavenly Father. We need to renew it. Second, we need to renew a vision of the hill of Calvary. I know you hear so much about Calvary, but tonight I want you to imagine in your mind, that's called a vision, by the way. I want you to imagine along with me that you and I are going to take a flight back in time. We're going to go to a city called Jerusalem. Would you go with me? Would you think in your mind for a minute? And we're at the north wall, not too far from the Damascus Gate. We're standing there. We're looking out over the wall, and we see a hill. And that hill, we look and we say, hey, there's two caves. They look like eyes. Hey, there's a stone sticking out. That looks like a nose. Hey, there's something that looks like a mouth there. Oh, it looks like a skull. But you look at the top of the hill, and it's so rounded. Look a little bit deeper. I see two crosses. Do you? You say, hey, wait a minute, two? Yeah, just a minute. We'll get to the other one. There's two crosses. And those crosses are thieves and robbers hanging there. And I look in the middle, and I see a hole dug. And it's an empty hole. Visualize it in your mind right now. As you look to the right of those two crosses, you look over and you see that there's a cross laying on the ground. You see that there's Roman soldiers standing there. They got big hammer and they're taking that hammer and they're taking that hammer and pounding that spike through Jesus' hands. First it's one hand, then the other, then it's the feet. You and I would scream in pain. You and I would holler. But not Jesus. Can you imagine as the spikes hit the nerve in the hand how that must have felt? Look at the bloody mass of the human being. It was Jesus on that cross. Look as his body was ripped apart from the cat of nine tails. Blood everywhere, his face swollen. Look at the crown of thorns, and it was 2.5 to 3 inches deep, and they dug deep down in the forehead. Blood running down his face. His beard was pulled out. He didn't say one word. Not one word. He was doing it for you and for me. Picture for a moment that the Roman soldiers took up that cross and they carried it over and they dropped it in that hole. Can you imagine the agony and the pain go through Jesus as that cross hit the bottom of the hole? Can you imagine the pain that ripped through his body? Think for a minute as he had to push himself up to get grasp for air and the slivers of the old rugged cross getting the open wounds of his back. Picture this with me. Visualize Jesus on the cross. Visualize that he took your sin and my sin. My sin alone would have held him to the cross. He did it for us so that we can go to heaven. But you know what? He did it for everybody, not just us. He did it for all Lenawee County, all Michigan, all the world. Do you get a vision tonight? And then you get a vision of what Jesus did on the cross on the hill of Calvary? Get the vision. Think a moment, just as he took your sin and placed it on a holy God who know no sin. Can you imagine the agony that must have been? Feel the pain. Feel the agony as he took your sin and placed it on him. Wake up. We need to wake up. God is real. God is love, yes. And God is holy. But he loved us so much, he sent his son to suffer, to bleed, to die. Are we awake? Do you get the vision? Oh, there is another place that I want to talk to you about. A place that I don't like to even think about. It's simply called a place called hell and the lake of fire. Will you listen for a moment? Would you get a vision? I think of that teenager, as he says he could stake the burn. No big deal. I'm telling you, it is a big deal. Have you ever taken a match or lay it and burn yourself with it? It hurts, doesn't it, when you accidentally do it? In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Let me tell you, the rich man's still there. He's still burning. But I want to take you down another trip. This time it's down the future. This time it's down the road. This time it's going to be the final judgment. In Revelation chapter 15, turn your Bibles there, please. Chapter 20, excuse me. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell deliver up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Are you getting a vision? Are you getting a vision? I want you to picture something with me as we travel down the future. Picture with me that we're standing at the great white throne judgment. We're standing there. We look and Jesus comes in and we stand in awe. Tears running down our face because we knew what's going to happen. The final judge. He comes and he calls out her name. You say, oh, that's my neighbor. Oh, that's my mother. That's my aunt. That's my uncle. Oh, that's somebody I know. And Jesus stands there and says, depart from me, I never knew you. And that person looks right at you square in the eyes and says, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Why don't we? Why don't we tell them about Jesus? Are you afraid? Are you locked up in your little old self? I think it's about time we wake up and understand there is a hell, there is a lake of fire, and it's real. Listen, as that person is cast in the lake of fire, listen to the screaming, I'm burning, I'm burning, I'm burning. Listen to the screams tonight. Hear them. Listen as they say, why didn't you tell me? Those people that you saw in the cemetery, the picture of the cemetery, you saw it's too late for most of them. They are burning, they're burning, and they're burning. That's the vision you need to get. You need to get a vision every time you see somebody walking down the street. You need to understand, where are they going to spend eternity? And what are you going to do about it? One day I was walking to church. I like getting to church early. And it was early in the morning. I was walking to church from where I live. And I came down to the park down here. There was a man sitting there. And the Holy Spirit said, go talk to him. I says, huh? Now, Lord, you know I got to get to church. I don't have time to talk to him. Go talk to him. I said, Lord, you know I don't have time. And I walked around by. I wonder where that guy spent an eternity. Because I would not go. I would not tell. I would not listen. I wonder how many in your life that you refuse to go, that you refuse to tell. How many are burning tonight? How many are screaming and yelling? We need to wake up. We're sound asleep. We need to be set on fire from heaven to wake us up and say, hey, we'll go. Our hearts are hard. Help me to have that soft heart so you can massage it. Wake up. There's souls dying and going to hell every day. And we sit here. Oh, by the way, on Saturday mornings, I know adults go calling other times. I praise God for Kathy. But we average 6, 7, 8 people. And yet we have 17 teenagers. What's wrong? What's wrong with that picture? Aren't we supposed to set the example as adults? What's wrong with us? We have a problem, don't we? You know what it is? Self. Complacency. Laziness. Go call it anything you want. Rebellion. Is it a good word? He said, I don't like that kind of preaching. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the author. He says, go. And we set. I don't understand it. We send missionaries out all over the place, yet we can't cover Lenawee County. I don't understand it. It just does not make sense. It doesn't cost that much. I think some people think, woo, you know, the gas is awful expensive. What's worth one soul? What's so-and-so worth? What's one soul worth? We was out by Hillsdale County on a little country road. We just got through covering one. We was going to go down that road just to do a kind of a survey and see how many houses it was. And we decided, the Holy Spirit decided for us to stop at that house. Am I right, Lou? We stopped at that house. And there's some kids out in the yard. They ran in the house. Of course, I don't blame them. I would, too, when I see Lou coming. All right? And we knocked on the door, and the man answered the door. And his wife was right there with him. He stood there, and we was talking to him a little while. They was going through some rough times, weren't they? He didn't have a job. He just got noticed that he had to get out of the house. He's brokenhearted. We continued to talk to him, and they couldn't believe that somebody would come that far. And the wife, if I remember correctly, the wife says, God must have sent you. Both of them received Christ as their personal Savior. We went back to talk to them later on. And they was planning on moving closer to Ader, and it was coming to church. We went back the third time, and they was gone. They could be going to church somewhere else. More than likely they are. Maybe he couldn't get a job. But let me tell you what God did to him during that 1 week. After the second time we went, he got a job. And he said, praise the Lord. Don't tell me soul winning don't work. It does. Jesus is in the saving business. He doesn't want any to perish. Hell. Do you get a vision of it tonight? It's an awful place. I don't want anybody to go there. Do you? As a Christian, if you do, there's something wrong. You better check your salvation out. Would you go? Would you go help us to knock on every door in Lenawee County? Oh, you're going to get something and slam the door? You're going to get someone threatening to shoot you? You go get something that's going to set sick dogs on you. But I tell you what, it's all worth it when somebody receives Christ as their personal Savior. It's worth it all. 160-some souls saved in Lenawee County. Whoa, that's rejoicing. By the way, I got to tell you another story it just brought to my mind before I go to the last point. Several years ago, as I was soul winning, we knocked in this house and we didn't get much of an answer except a big black dog. I mean, I thought he's going to jump right through that door. And my partner said, "Let's go." I said, "No, we can't." Somebody came and got that dog, and they took it. You could see them taking it down the hallway. They put it in some room. We got inside, and there were seven people there. Seven people. We knelt down in front of the seven people and told them how to go to heaven. They's about getting ready to pray and ask Christ to come in their heart. And I noticed there was something coming down that hallway, big and black, come running down that hallway. And I said to myself, what am I going to do? First, the reaction I had to put my arm up here, and I was going to jam it down the dog's throat so it couldn't bite very hard. But all of a sudden, that dog sat dead, sat right down. Didn't bark, didn't do nothing, just sat there. Seven people came to know Christ that day in that house. And we got up to walk out. The lady says, "I don't understand why that dog did that." I said, "Oh, I do." I said, "I got a God that's powerful. And a God that wanted to see you saved." And we got outside that door, and that dog hit that door, and I thought for sure it was coming through again. Don't tell me there's not a God in heaven. There he is. He's alive. He's a well. He wants to see souls saved. He doesn't want anybody. Where'd you go? We need you to go to reach Lenawee County because we have need to get a vision of our spiritual father. We need to get a vision of the hill called Calvary. We need to renew a vision of hell and the lake of fire and how awful it is. But there's another one we need to get a vision of. And I'm going to have Brother Matt come. And that's simply called heaven. Brother Matt.
In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, God gives us a description of heaven. I want to read that, and you can follow along starting in verse 1 of Revelation 21. It says this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, a chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done.
I don't think I need to say any more about heaven. Just had a beautiful place. Where do you want your friends to go? Heaven? Hell? The lake of fire? Where do you want your worst enemy to go? I don't want them to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. So often I think of Carol Hawkins. Every time I go to prison, it's amazing to me that his mother was killed. Yet he can go into prison and preach the gospel. Where do you stand? Where do you stand with God? Do you have a vision? Did you renew it tonight? Did you renew the vision that we have a Heavenly Father that is holy, that is just, and he will punish sin? But he is a merciful God. He is a God of love, L-O-V-E. He's a God of patience. He's waited for us so long to go, to go, to go. Maybe his patience is running thin. I don't know. He's saying, will you go? Will you go? Would you knock on a few doors? Don't worry about if they slam the door in your face. Will you go? Don't worry if they threaten to shoot. Will you go? People are dying, and they'll spend eternity in hell. We need to wake up. We need to tell them that Jesus loves them. Won't you go? Won't we come united here at Berean Baptist Church and have a goal to go out and reach Lenawee County? Can't we put aside our little differences that we have? Can't we just put our faith and trust in God? Can't we just go and tell the lost, Jesus saves and Jesus satisfies. The choice is yours. I'm going to have the pastor come. We was going to use that podium, but it didn't work out that way. But you know what? It's okay. I'm going to have the pastor come and close. Would you join me here at the altar? Would you join me with tears running down your heart to make that heart soft and pliable so God can use it? Would you join me? And will you go?